Welcome to Remarkable Retail Podcast Special 8-Part Summer Series, produced in partnership with Commerce Next. I'm Michael LeBlanc.
And I'm Steve Dennis. This summer, we're mixing up our format to bring you fast-paced interviews with top retail industry leaders, all of whom graced the stage earlier this summer at the Commerce Next Growth Show in New York City.
We'll be back with our regular format and Season 11 on Tuesday, September 2nd. In this episode, we sit down for an engaging conversation with Jeannie Yu, CEO of Draper James, the lifestyle brand founded by Reese Witherspoon. Jeannie shares her impressive retail journey and how she's leading the brand through its next chapter of growth, from celebrating 10 years with a decade tour to embracing human-centric retail and preparing for AI-enabled leadership. Tune in as we explore celebrity branding, customer connection, and the values powering Draper James' exponential growth strategy.
Jeannie, welcome to the Remarkable Retail Podcast here at Commerce Next Growth Show. How are you today?
I'm very well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you're surviving the heat in New York.
I am. I'm staying indoors as much as possible.
I know it's boring to talk about the weather, but just for our listeners, it's a little steamy here.
We tried that last night. We were at a dinner at a fantastic Thai restaurant, and when we walked in, it was a very authentic experience. Their air conditioning was broken.
Humid.
So, yes, it was.
I have to say the food was spectacular, and it felt like I was sitting in a, you know, right in time. So hot.
Maybe that's what they were going for.
I think
good
so.
Good for beverage sales. Their beverage sales tab was
it was a good upsell strategy. But anyway, enough about that. Let's talk a little bit about you and the brand you're working for. Maybe just quickly a little bit about your personal and professional journey. Obviously, you're the CEO, so we probably have some idea of what that's about. But just give us a little bit of a sense of how you got to where you are.
Sure. So I have 2 decades of experience in the fashion industry. I started at Michael Kors. And then went on to Coach and started in buying merchandising and then moved into digital. Mm-hmm. So when I was at Coach, I was overseeing their website for both outlet and full price. And I was there for about 5 years, and then I moved into luxury and really pinnacle ready-to-wear luxury at that. I went to a company called Adam Lippis and was there for about 6.5 years. And then by the time I left, I was president. So I went from there to Draper James, where I just started last fall.
Right.
So
right.
I'm still kind of new on the job. It's been about 9 months.
Sure.
Draper James is the lifestyle brand founded by Reese Witherspoon. And the brand is celebrating 10 years this year.
Wow. Yeah,
we're on our decade tour.
And do you, as a brand, do you identify as a digitally native brand, or is that kind of language?
I don't think that applies to us, and I think it's really hard to find a fashion brand that's truly digitally native,
right,
unless you're looking at some of these upstarts from the last 5 to 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of, you know, like a Warby Parker or an Everlane, you know, those
kinds of
brands.
A little bit more, right, yeah. And it's kind of the scale and the scope of the business. U.S. only at this point?
We are predominantly U.S., and actually within the U.S., more than half of our customers are in the South.
Right.
Reese is from Nashville, and so there's a very natural affinity there. We index really high in the Midwest and the South, so that's about 75% of our customer base. And then we do really well in other regions, too, but there are more pockets. The wholesale piece is a much smaller part of our business.
Right.
It's actually more licensing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for a customer who's walking into a store, if you go into a Petco right now, for example, we're in 1,200 Petco stores with our pet merchandise.
Oh, okay.
For cat and dog toys, and you would think maybe that's wholesale, but actually it's all done through our licensing partners.
Right. Oh, okay. Interesting. Now, you're actually not the first person I've had on the mic from Draper James, and this goes back pre-pandemic, so kind of in the origin story. Now, about a year ago, that changed, right? Reese sold the business, but she's still involved. I see her on the site.
She is.
She's still a brand. I remember the story that she was like, I'm inspired by products I would wear that I don't see out there. And that was the inspiration for the product line. Is that that's a fair statement?
That's a fair statement. And I think that's a through line that we continue today.
Right.
And so she's still in our marketing campaigns. She's still weighing in on things. She did sell a majority stake in the business in August of 2023 to Consortium Brand Partners. And they're a private equity firm that now owns Outdoor Voices and Jonathan Adler as well.
Right.
And I guess in the transition of in the growth of a brand, at some point it becomes my own brand to, like, we need to perfect. It was very well run, but it needs to scale. It needs different resources and skills like yours.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
Right?
And you
like
want to reach more customers. And I think the products that we create are very good quality. Our dresses are under $200, which is a departure from the world I was coming from, where We were selling dresses for north of $1,500. But the nice thing is that it's very democratic in style. I see a lot of women wearing it. I've actually seen some Draper James here at this convention
today.
And so, yes, even though our core customer base is in the South, Southern customers are traveling all over the world.
Sure.
They're going to England. They're coming to New York. And we need to create clothes that make them feel confident and good no matter where they're going.
And I want to talk a little bit about celebrity and the brand. So Steve and I both have experience with celebrities and brands and their particular role. And sometimes the celebrities are very directional oriented. I need, you know, from start to finish, I want to control the brand. Other end of the spectrum, they're like a name I barely know I'm associated with. What's the role of celebrity today, now that Reese... People may or may not know she stepped back. They may or not know any of that. But how do you see her role in the brand's architecture?
I think she plays a critical role. I think in many ways, people love the brand because they love her.
Right.
There's an adoration for her as America's sweetheart. And I think having that resonance and striking the right balance in our marketing and how we communicate with our customers is extremely important. Mm. And I would say that the tone that she sets in her social channel and the way she is even in running her other businesses, Hello Sunshine, her book club, and everything she's involved in, we try to carry that tone through in the culture internally and even in how we treat our customers.
Right.
The second element of that is that she is from the South, and Southern hospitality is a very real thing, and there's a ton of charm when you visit these towns, and when you go to bigger cities like Nashville or Charleston, you really feel that energy. It's different. And that's something we try to evoke even when we're here in New York City.
We'll be right back with more of our interview with Jeannie Yu from Draper James right after this short break. Promotional support for the show comes from Glass Media. How do you amplify the wow in your stores? With next-level in-store signage and displays from Glass Media. Glass Media boldly challenges the status quo by leveraging its world-class design, engineering, and manufacturing to elevate brand presence and drive both engagement and conversion. Find out why leading brands and retailers worldwide trust Glass Media to make their stores more remarkable. To take your visual merchandising to the next level, go to glass-media.com. Physical retail isn't dead, but boring, unremarkable retail is dead or dying. So how do you become the compelling signal amid all the noise, distraction, transformative new technologies, and escalating competition? If you haven't read Remarkable Retail, How to Win and Keep Customers in the Age of Disruption, Steve's first best-selling book, what better time than now? You'll learn the most important trends shaping modern retail today, explore Steve's 8 Essentials of Remarkable Retail strategic framework, and be inspired to rise above the rest. Remarkable Retail is available just about everywhere books are sold, as well as on Audible and as an ebook on Kindle for just $9.99.
So one of the things, and really I'm curious about this for other reasons, which is probably a different podcast episode, but one of the things that you're talking about here at the conference is human-centered retailing or human-centric retailing. People say it different ways. And I'm curious, first of all, what does that term mean to you? But particularly as you talk about the story, what I hear about the storytelling and the lifestyle and Reese's personality, how do you tie that together? Like, what does that actually mean in practice, and how are you applying that as you look to grow the brand?
In our store environment, which I highly recommend everyone experience, we're on 12 South in Nashville. You feel that hospitality immediately when you walk in.
Of course.
The way they greet you, the way they make you feel like you're walking into their home is really unparalleled, because I've gone into a lot of retail stores. So I think that is critical to the human element and how we connect with our customers. The other thing is that a lot of customers are pretty agnostic in terms of marketing channels today.
Yeah.
So even when I think about the in-store or pop-up experience, right now we're on our decade tour for our 10-year anniversary. So we're stopping over in 10 different cities, predominantly throughout the South, and popping up in these nice hotels and partnering with local artisans and local women entrepreneurs and giving them a platform to showcase their merchandise, their craft, and tell their story. So I think there's a lot of amplification that comes from the community aspect as well.
Right.
And bringing people together.
So, not to put words in your mouth, but it's not like you're not interested in tech. Like, I've heard several people, even Sam's Club, which is obviously a very different kind of brand from Draper James, talks about being people-led, tech-enabled. The technology is not the point. You're trying to connect with
the
humans.
The tech, to me, is table stakes.
Right.
You have to keep up with it. And I was just on a panel on leading in the age of AI, And I said, we're in the nascent stages. But what I found was that when I took an informal poll of our organization, 75% of people were already using AI for their day-to-day.
Right.
And it's not like we had a task force to say, this is what we're rolling out. Here are the tools and applications to use. People are using ChatGPT. People are using Gemini on their own for their personal and professional life. So now strategy is really to minimize some of the workload that used to take hours and hours, days and days, and there's really no excuse for certain things now, right? You have to be more efficient with your time, and in this competitive landscape, you have to figure out how you're going to cut above the noise, and you can only do that when you have smarter, better tools equipping you to make better decisions.
And would you, some people have talked about AI broadly, Gen AI, I guess in particular, being as transformative as the invention of the internet and things like
it's
that.
It's been around since...
Yeah.
AI's been around for a really long time.
Yeah, so that's more high. I guess my question was, do you buy into that, and is it really fundamentally a paradigm shift, or is it more an evolution?
I think it's an evolution.
Yeah.
I do. I think, you know, you go from faxes to emails. You go from rudimentary formulas in a calculator in a TI-83 to elaborate Excel formulas. Mm-hmm. You can write scripts. All of these things empower us to do our jobs better.
Sure. One other just a quick, more, I guess, a leadership question. Since you've worked at, had a number of very, very important roles at some very impressive brands, what have you found from a leadership perspective that has been most beneficial to you in coming to a brand like Draper James at this stage of their maturity in particular?
I feel like I was uniquely suited for this role because I came from really big brands like Michael Kors and Coach. And when I was at Coach, it was during a time of brand transformation. So we had a new creative director start within my first 10 months, new CEO. And it felt like every 5 to 10 months, something was changing within the organization, and we were evolving how we were running reports, how we were looking at things, what are the metrics that mattered. And so I took those learnings, and then I went to a much smaller company, and again, it was in pinnacle luxury. And suddenly I found myself not really going for what was the most democratic in terms of product appeal, and instead it was really about serving a very niche customer and learning everything about your customer. And so marrying those two things set me up for a lot of success in my current role, which is a really broad swath of very, very democratic products. Like our pet products, they start at $9, right? But we're also selling dresses and boots for around $200. So the appeal that you're, you know, putting out there in your marketing and how you speak to your customers has to be a little bit of both. And I think I'm able to strike that balance because of the experience I've had.
Sure.
Interesting.
Does that answer your question?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's great.
100%. I want to pick up on your table stakes mention.
Sure.
And so we sometimes interview brands we call special, not big. Right? Mm-hmm. They're very interesting, like a Vuori. We interviewed Vuori, and Steve's on the stage with Joe later on today. Special, not big. And I want to talk about table stakes versus differentiators for a brand like yours. You mentioned, hey, there's a bunch of things. And, of course, that's a moving dimension, right? What was differentiator last year is now table stakes. How do you think of that? And what's a differentiator for your brand? There's a lot of, you know, you've got Reese Witherspoon, so you've got a bit of celebrity differentiation, which is hard to map, but its relevancy is indexed to Reese, or if you even know or follow Reese. So how do you think about differentiators?
Do you mean in tech or...
No, just as the brand. And, you know, when you go out to, you know, you're
business
in a line...
Model,
you're in a line of high-mile stores and people are going to select you. Some of it is because of the fashion and the form. Others is, you know, as you say, the way you greet people in the store. Like, how do you talk to your associates?
I think for us, it really is about that personal connection to the brand. And that goes back to the genesis of the brand, which was... and she named the brand after her grandparents. So the Draper and James. And I think that part is very meaningful because, especially today, when we're constantly tied to our phones, I think people are looking for a little bit of nostalgia, and that heritage piece matters. And so you think about a Ralph Lauren, that's a heritage American brand. We're not that, right? We're not big, but we are that big, but we are special in that there's a very sentimental aspect to even the way the company started. So I think when we consider our customers and how to differentiate ourselves, even in our product, we're competing in a very, very dense space right now of women's dresses. Mm-hmm. If you go to Zara, you get something for $70.
Sure, right.
How are you going to convince her to spend $200? And I think a big part of that is standing for quality, standing for kind of just the supply chain even, and making sure that we're working with the right people. Now, this is not something that we always talk about broadly, but it matters. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in my early conversations with our investors and with Reese, like, that's something that matters. And I think you intrinsically, you just have to build a lot of trust with your customers and know, okay, the way that they're running the company and the way that they are putting out products and considering their customers and the end use is really with them in mind first, with the customers in mind first. So that's, I would say we think a lot about that. And then I'd say the second thing is that we're trying to innovate our products and make sure that, for example, we learned that our customers love gardening, they love books, and they over-index on food and wine, which for me is hospitality.
Right.
And food and wine, to me, is something that you really engage in. Yes, it's food is a necessity, but it's also celebratory. When you're going out to restaurants or you're going out to a hotel because you're celebrating something, generally there's a lot of joy in that. And I think people need to feel a lot of joy when they see and wear our clothes. So I'd say that element is extremely important in differentiating our product.
Fantastic.
We'll be right back with Draper James CEO Jenny Yu after another quick break. Promotional support for the show comes from Find Mine. Why choose between brand storytelling and driving business results when Find Mine delivers both? Find Mine's innovative enterprise platform generates breakthrough customer experiences for top brands like Lululemon and Ann Taylor. And this fall, Find Mine's democratizing the magic with a new GPT-style system for marketers, merchandisers, and product managers that adds improved features to your customer journey without enterprise contracts or getting stuck in product development backlogs. To get a jump on the competition, join the waitlist today at findmine.com/remarkableretail. What's retail's biggest blind spot? The fitting room. A shopper wants to buy, but can't get the help they need. That's why global brands partner with Crave Retail, the market leader in smart fitting rooms. Crave connects that moment to your business, giving shoppers a voice, associates real-time alerts, and teams the data to buy smarter. The result? Higher conversion, better decisions, a seamless experience. Learn how fast you can elevate your fitting rooms at craveretail.com.
Last question for you from me, and then I'll pass the mic back to Steve to say farewell, is what's next for the brand? You've obviously, I say obviously, but you have everyone has growth in mind. I didn't know you had pet products, for example. But what is international expansion, perhaps? What's next for you?
We still have a lot of opportunity in North America, so that's going to continue to grow.
I like how you said North America. So my North America includes
the Canadians are always like,
North America.
But I heard you say you're from Toronto.
Canada. So when is your store open?
Would you like to help us open our store in Toronto?
Well, as it turns out, there's a whole lot of empty space now in Canada with the demise of Hudson's Bay. It's a bit
big,
probably a bit bigger than you need.
Yeah, just slightly.
But it's also Mexico. So talk about North America a bit.
Absolutely. So we have started having conversations about expansion throughout North America, both in the retail and wholesale space, and then actually I should add on the third, which is licensing. And so I think that's really exciting. And then international is on the roadmap, but a little further down. I'd say that retail within our DTC division is probably the most pressing opportunity right now. I think people want to kind of get back out in shops. You know, I was down in Charleston recently walking King Street. It's crowded. You know, people want to shop in person. And even if they don't convert in store, they want to see, touch, feel. They want to experience things, right? And then maybe they go online and buy, and that's fine.
One last question, actually, I'll add, and if you don't want to answer it, it's fine.
Sure.
Are there any brands that you look to for particular inspiration where you say their growth strategy, not necessarily women's business, but are any you say, wow, they have really taken something to the kind of level and been disciplined about it, maybe in a way that some others haven't been? Because certainly there have been some brands in the last 10 or 15 years that emerged that have kind of flamed out.
Right, that happens a lot.
Yeah, so any that you really take inspiration for or really impress you?
Nothing comes to mind immediately, but a lot of times I actually draw inspiration from different verticals, not necessarily fashion.
Yeah.
So even in like the home goods space, Frontgate, I get a catalog from them. They email me. I don't think I receive texts from them. But what's very effective is that when I once had a problem with an umbrella I'd bought, like an outdoor umbrella, I called customer service, and usually you prepare yourself
for the journey.
You're going to pull your hair out, and you put it on speakerphone, and then you're multitasking, right? Someone answered the phone within 20 seconds, greeted me by my name, knew my order, knew exactly what I didn't have to have a confirmation number, nothing. Mm. And that level of personal service, I thought, was very inspiring.
Interesting, yeah.
So I'd say that's probably the first example that comes to mind.
Excellent. Well, this has been a great conversation. Thanks for making some time.
Thank
for
you.
For us, it's a busy schedule, no doubt, and we're very eager to see what's next for Draper James and for you personally. And
Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the Remarkable Retail Podcast.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Please don't forget to give us that 5-star rating and review wherever you enjoy your podcast.
And be sure to subscribe and check out our latest retail store tour videos on the Remarkable Retail Podcast YouTube channel.